And I called this the message, simple, light in the world of darkness. Light in the world of darkness. So often in the darkness of the soul, so often in the middle of night, we wake up, and not only is it dark, but it is dark. And sometimes we have difficulty. We struggle. And the struggle sometimes continues. And on many occasions in the night, I've had to pray, "Oh, Lord, help me to tell the devil to get away from me." Because you see, we, the people of God, who believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord, are different. He doesn't have to attack anybody out there. There's a darkness that surrounds us in the community that we live on every side. And when there's a light, and Jesus is the light, let me tell you, things happen. There's opposition. And there are struggles. And I often think of those who are struggling. Our brothers and sisters now, for example, in the Gaza Strip, not only the Muslims. And I saw part of a service the other day, a Christian service. There are Christians, there are people that believe what we believe. And that doesn't mean that I sit in any judgment of the Muslim. Please, believe me. It's so difficult to imagine how in so many parts of the world people can survive the trauma of war, the trauma of dispossession, the trauma of hunger. Often their lives all around the globe are lived in darkness. And so many of us watch the fireworks. And on Christmas Day, we saw Christmas lights. And that is the only light that many people actually saw. Some of us, in fact, I went to bed. I didn't need the light, nor did I need the lawyers, because when you get to my age and those of us in my age group who grew up during the war, Second World War, do not like to be reminded of the sound of bombs. And so there are so many people all around us. People that have come from areas where there's conflict, where there is darkness. And they've come into this country and they experience peace. And yet, again, we're reminded with the noise. And we're seeking the light that only the Christ of Christmas can bring. He is the light that lights up the world, the light that has lit up my life. Yes, not overseas, but just one news item that struck me this week. In this state of Victoria, in a wealthy country, 9,000 children are in foster care. That was just an item on the news. No further comment. Nobody asked why are these children in foster care. And it's scary. And we can cry. 9,000 children. Dark, darkness. And so often they are the people, the young people, who begin life at a disadvantage. You know, I'm so grateful for the Andrews Center. The Andrews Center, if we could just someone had stand next to me from the Andrews Center and just share some of the things, some of the people, some of the struggles, some of the tears they've seen being shed. And I praise God that in the darkness of the lives of so many people around us, there's a light. The light of Christ expressed in the work of those who are actively engaged in sharing the love of Christ in a very practical way. The love of Christ shared in a practical way. It's a light. It's probably the only light. It may be only a ray of light. Have you ever stood? For example, in another bore, I stood in another bore once. And it was dark. Literally pitch dark. Not a light. Could you imagine one solitary light? And so the question, even this morning in this message, there's a question for all of us. How can we, the people of God, the body of Christ, reach out to these people? To reach out to those, the many who are desperate, with the light. And speaking very personally just for a moment, I admit that it's almost impossible at times. As a cancer patient, I've been able to share with one surgeon and various oncologists, praise God, that I have been able to share with them the light. Oh, they know I'm a pastor of the church, believe you me. And that's the walking stick that the devil is doing. So just ignore him. I have been able, just because I'm a pastor, I have had the freedom to, no, not to beat them about the head with a Bible, not to more or less preach the gospel. They know all that. They all know about it. But for example, the other day, with one particular oncologist, I sat opposite her, and suddenly I felt moved just to say and acknowledge how difficult it must be for an oncologist. This is for many people the end of the line, to deal with the darkness. To deal with it, I mean, just think of these oncologists especially, and there are others, to deal with the darkness and the fear and of the unknown, dealing with the pain of so many patients that are terminal. And I praise God that so often there has been hope, there has been help. Christmas Day and New Year's Day are behind us. Just 2 days. 2 days when there was light. And it seems as though the light's gone out. But we have the light. Behind us is the Word. And the Word was God. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. He, the Christ, who lived among us, full of grace and truth. the word grace. Now, I'm pretty sure that all of you over the years, and some of them for many years, perhaps some of them not so many, you're all very familiar with that term, grace. Oh yes, it's been explained to you from the pulpit. It's all to set back. Oh yes, that's what it is. But then, so you go home, and you forget all about what he taught. Well, not necessarily forget about it. But then you don't really need it at that moment. And so grace goes out of the window. I don't need it. And yet, it is a gift. We talk about giving on Christmas. Christ came. Christ came. Who brought us that light. And in that light, he brought us his grace. His wonderful grace, putting his arms around you and I, even though there are times that I certainly don't deserve it, and I cannot speak for you. And yet, and by the way, I'm aware that I'm used to, by the way, preaching. Let me just preface my comment now. I'm used to preaching with Melbourne Praise, where I've been involved for many years. And the expectation is a minimum of 20 minutes. It's better if you preach 30 minutes, and we don't mind if you preach 40 minutes. And I've done all. And by the way, that's what I used to. And so sometimes it's more difficult to prepare a message that is a lot shorter. And so this morning, rather than giving you a sum total of grace, I heard a poem, oh, many, many, many years ago, and I had a copy of that. And this is what I believe sums up what Jesus, the light, the Christ, gave us. You see, he gives more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sends more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he adds his mercy to multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed before the day is half done, when we reach the end of our own resources, our Father's full giving has only begun. His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he gives again. And that, friends, is grace. And we read, of course, in verse 14, that it's not only grace, but it's truth as well. Full of grace and truth. So Pilate actually asked Jesus that when he stood before him and he was going to be crucified. Pilate asked, what is truth? Truth, I believe, literally means that he is truth, and it means that we can trust him. We can trust him implicitly. We never need to fear. We can always come before him. And believe you me, that's what I've been doing. Trusting him. And you see, when I reflect on that, there are so many people. Do I or do they trust 100%? Can we always trust all the time. Believe you me, so often we have been let down. We remember the disappointment. We remember how angry we may have been, how upset that someone broke their trust in him or in her. We thought that we could believe and believe that we could trust that person. But they spoke lies. And there are the times that we experience the darkness, and that is the time and the only way forward for us is to turn to Jesus. To turn to the light of the world, to turn the darkness that we are experiencing into his glorious light. And again, here I speak, and I believe that it's at my time of the Isle and Hearth, be able to share my experience, something of what the Lord has done for me. And believe in me, it's remarkable. It's unbelievable that I am able to stand. First of all, it's amazing, remarkable, unbelievable that I'm alive. I don't know how else you can express that. At the age of 90, proclaiming the gospel and still on active service. Wow. Now that, and my son said to me, Dad, he just shakes his head. My doctor shakes his head. The other day, the oncologist said, I had only just met her. I've had four oncologists, would you believe? It's quite an amazing thing. And for the first time, and I was sitting in the waiting room and she came out of her room. And there I am with my walking stick walking towards her. And she looked at me in absolute amazement. Yes, that was the first time. You see, most of the patients that she treats are in darkness, struggling, living in fear, the fear of death, the fear of the big C, cancer. And I don't need to delve lots deeper into the concept of darkness. Perhaps some of you are experiencing it at this very moment. Perhaps you are grieving the loss of a loved one or a friend. Perhaps you're lonely. Perhaps you're struggling with your faith. That's why I had no hesitation, because I was here last week with Inika, and we sang Joy to the World. To begin with that hymn also this morning, Joy to the World, the Lord has come. The living, the eternal Christ. It is he who came to bring us hope and love and comfort and the promise of his presence. We read in John 1 from verses 4 and 5. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend it. And as we who are called to reflect the light. I don't know how familiar you are with the Old Testament. There is Moses coming down from Mount Sinai. He'd spend time with God. And when he came down, people said, oh, don't put something in front of your face. The reflection of being in the presence of God could be seen. I'm grateful that my surgeon saw, one of the surgeons, he saw something about my faith. The surgeon said to me, please pray for me. To me that proved, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that the light of Christ was in me at that moment, that I was able to say to him, yes, I will pray for you. Darkness and light. I began very simple. Let me just end with what I started, or what the theme of the message is. A light in a world of darkness. Amen.